What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Hot Shots. I'm Jedi, and with me always is Houdini and D-Paw. What's poppin', boys?
How we doing, boys? Little technical difficulties, but I'm having a great week. NHL playoffs off to a hot start. NBA playoffs off to a hot start. We got the NFL draft. MLB's in full swing. This is a great time of year.
This is a great time of year. And, you know, the NFL does a great job of hyping up the draft and marketing it and really being a full 12-month season sport, because I get so excited for the draft. No matter what's going on in the other sports, I get so hyped for the NFL draft.
Yeah, it seems like someone is going to be going first overall, someone who I don't want to. But the Bears, they just haven't learned their lesson yet. I'll just leave it at that. NBA playoffs talk. Is the Warriors' big three over?
Yes. I can't believe I'm going to say it. You're witnessing a change of the guard in the NBA. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Wembanyama, Anthony Edwards, Jason Tatum. And you're starting to see the decline of the stars that we grew up with, D-Paw. Yep. LeBron, Steph, Clay. I just don't see Draymond Green helping any basketball team, to be honest with you. Klay Thompson does not look like himself at all. And Steph can't carry a team at 33, 34 years old.
So, no. Dino, 36.
He's 36?
36 years old.
Oh, yep. My God, that went by fast. Yeah.
That did.
Yeah, it went by really fast. I didn't know he was 36 years old.
Yeah. And that's exactly why I'm saying I agree. It absolutely is over. You're right. Draymond isn't the same Draymond. Klay is washed, in my opinion. He just doesn't have it. He lost the stroke. Steph, still an elite shooter, but you're right. He cannot carry a team like he used to be able to carry that team. Will he go on hot streaks? Yes, absolutely. Will he still shoot the lights out of the gym? Absolutely. But he's not going to be a cornerstone piece that you can succeed and continue to win championships with.
For all the reasons,
LeBron's going to go there, right?
I agree with all of you for the reasons that you've said. This definitely is the final nail in the coffin. But rather than be so negative on this, like, oh, yeah, it's over, I mean, let's just, like, give him a round of applause for a second and just run. I mean, I don't know off the top of my head, but how many championships did they have? I mean, it was in a huge window, too, which I think is even more impressive.
Yeah, I'm not taking away.
It wasn't like back to back to back to back. You know, like, it was like a large, you know, gap of years to where they were dominant.
Yeah, and you bring up a great point. Like, I'm not trying to, like, piss on their party. You know what I mean? Like, they've accomplished things in the NBA in the last decade that is unbelievable from a unit that stayed together, because we don't get to see that often in the NBA. So hats off to them. They've had a remarkable run together. Steph, unbelievable career. Klay, unbelievable career. Obviously, his injury kind of derails that a little bit, but when you look at the things that they've done, it's amazing. It's just at that point where they're difficult to watch. And they used to be so much fun to watch. There's flashes of it, and you're like, oh, they're the Splash Brothers, here we go. And then they miss like four or five shots in a row, and you're like, it's not the same squad. Draymond can't stay on the floor. The guy is an absolute – like, if he wasn't so normal off the floor – I would pull comparisons to Antonio Brown, but he's really normal off the floor. Antonio Brown's lost his mind. Yeah. So it's just sad to see that this is how it ends, but you start to see this in every single sport.
You know, and I'll give my respect to, like, those runs that they had were extremely impressive, and they were playing basketball the right way. And Steve Kerr, you know, in part kind of revolutionized part of the NBA, and those teams kind of changed the NBA. Steph did. But I was a hater, man. I didn't like them winning. I hated KD going there. You know, especially after setting the record for the most regular season wins. I will give them, you know, due credit. That was an awesome, awesome run that they had to get the most wins in NBA regular season history.
100%. I mean, congrats to that organization. Cause it's very, very hard to do. Still talking about the NBA, though, the Lakers look like it's not going that great for them. Probably going to get eliminated right now. Just focusing on LeBron James here. Will he ever win a championship again? Or is it kind of over with him, too? I mean, we have talked about it multiple times on this podcast. He keeps talking about retirement over and over again. The most that he has in his entire career, he used to not acknowledge it at all. I mean, is it really kind of the end for him for everything at this point?
This is a tough one. And this is a tough one because they blew game two really bad. They have two opportunities in LA to make it a series. I don't think the Lakers are that bad. I actually like their roster. Where I'm like hesitant to say no is the fact that when he's healthy and he wants to be the best player on the floor, he's still the best player on the floor. Like that's clear cut to me. Like he can take over a game whenever he wants. I don't think he's trying to do that with the roster that he has. I think he's trying to incorporate D'Angelo Russell. I think he's trying to incorporate Anthony Davis. And I think that's his way of kind of passing the torch. But he's needed to take over games. He had a block the other night on Jamal Murray that was unbelievable. Looked like vintage LeBron. So do I think LeBron wins another one? Not with the Lakers. I'll leave it at that. Not with the Lakers. Do I think he wins another one in his career? It depends how long he plays for. I will give him the benefit of the doubt and say that he does, but it's not going to be with the Lakers. But I don't see him leaving the Lakers because I bet the Lakers take Bronny in 2 years.
That'd definitely be a good way to keep him or get him to stay there, or at least, you know, pull at his heartstrings. I'm with you, Houdini. I don't think it happens in LA. I want to see him win another championship, and I hope he, you know, does the selfish thing and goes ring chasing. Kind of pull what KD did. We were just talking about the Warriors and whatnot. Go to the most loaded team that has the cap space to do it. Even if they don't have a ton of cap space, all right, he's made $1 billion in his career. He doesn't need the money. He needs another championship. Go to a squad where you can get it. I'd love to see him go to like Dallas or something like that. Reunite with Kyrie. You also got Luka there. I don't know if they got the cap space to do it, but I'd love to see that.
I'm not asking this question because I'm a fan. If he goes to the Knicks.
He loves the Garden too.
Are they good enough with LeBron to win it?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
They're going against Boston. They got to, you know, LeBron's done well against Boston though in his career. Like Boston doesn't scare him, but I think they'd have a great chance to do it.
Well, just to give you each 1 minute, just in case I missed anything regarding the NBA playoffs, give you 1 minute each to discuss what you want to discuss. A hard 1 minute, though.
Hard 1 minute. I am absolutely in shock at how bad the Phoenix Suns actually are. That franchise took a hard right turn into oblivion. The Mikal Bridges trade for Durant was smart at the time, but then they went and flipped Ayton for Bradley Beal. And when you look at the roster with zero depth, I'm going to go on record here and say Kevin Durant does not win another title. The Warriors needed Durant. Durant needed the Warriors. He's not good enough. Anthony Edwards was chirping him so bad that I can't even repeat what he said. And here, there was no comeback at all. So do I think the NBA playoffs have been exciting so far? Yes. Am I really excited about the Knicks? Of course I am. But the clear cut is obviously going to – the entire road's going to go through Denver.
Yeah, Denver, I think the Lakers, just to touch on it a little bit, they completely blew the series of that game. I think they're 0-10 in Denver the last 10 games they've played. They got no chance to winning that series. Jokic is historically great. He's put up some ridiculous statistical games that in NBA history have only happened 4 times, and he's done it 4 times in the playoffs alone. So he truly is a unicorn out there. Last thing that I'll go on, I think the Indiana Pacers, regardless if Giannis comes back for the Bucks or not, I think the Pacers take the Bucks down and completely shake it up out there. Watch out for the T-Wolves too. I'm a dark horse candidate for the T-Wolves right here.
All right, well, there you have it. We'll make sure to keep you updated on all NBA playoffs and eventually when we get to the finals too. All right, so the NHL playoff preview. My Florida Panthers are facing the Lightning right now and are 2-0 at the time that we're filming this. And big old Bobby made a save of a lifetime. I mean, that was one of the coolest plays I've ever seen in my entire life. Just want to mention that real quick. But what I do want to shed some light on right now is the New York Rangers have gotten off to a great start, but they did win the President's Trophy. And notably, you never win the Stanley Cup. That's a tradition that will probably continue this year.
Wow.
That's it.
Wow. You know, I was gonna give you some praise, dude. I was about to give you some praise. I really was. I was gonna say, Jedi, like, you talking about hockey and Bobrovsky save, like,
it love gets it.
Yeah, like, dude, I give you a ton of credit. I know you're kind of coming around to hockey slowly, and regardless of who you root for, like, I'll still love you to death. And I was gonna be like, dude, like, I'm proud of you. But now, dude, you're just an asshole. Because like, yes, the President's Trophy curse is a real thing. And yes, it hasn't been done since the 2013 Chicago Blackhawks that were absolutely loaded. But the Rangers' problem the last 10 years has been the inability to get rest in the first or second round. They have an opportunity here to put a team away that shouldn't even fucking be in the playoffs. I swore, damn it. I'm going to keep it because that's how passionate I am. You know what I mean? Like, the Caps shouldn't be there. The way that they got in was kind of shitty for Detroit. That's actually the team I didn't want to play. So do I think the Rangers have an opportunity to just get these guys out of the way and get a little break heading into Carolina? Because the Islanders just apparently can't play the last 3 minutes of a hockey game to close it out.
That's bad.
Really bad. But that's not what I want to touch on. The East is fun because it's the East. But my God, the Western Conference playoffs, yes, has been electric through
Winnipeg and the Avs is going to be the series of the West.
It is unbelievable the pace of play that the Western Conference plays with. The East is more of grind. It always has been this way. The East is more grinders, pucks in deep, cycle pucks, throw bodies. Yeah. The West is just high flying offenses left and right with an occasional good save. But I will tell you, that Jets-Avs series is legit, but I'm really interested in how this Stars-Golden Knights series ends up shaping up, because I do think Dallas is a really, really legit contender to come out of the West.
Dallas is a good hockey club, and of course it's Mark Stone scoring the first shift coming off long-term IR, where, you know, we could talk for 15 minutes about the cap manipulation that they're able to do there. You're right. I think it's in my opinion, the Avs and the Jets is going to be the series of the West. You know, I'm a little surprised by the Predators too, tying it up with the Canucks. I thought the Canucks had, you know, it's funny how many old Penguins players they have, and maybe they got too many Penguins players not doing well in the playoffs right now. Be careful with the Predators. You know, I definitely were thinking the Canucks were going to walk away with that series, but the Preds just worked the Canucks 4-1 last game.
Yeah, and then obviously you have the Oilers and Kings too. Like, you can't forget that. McDavid, 5 assists.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's clearly has all the talent in the world. And when they fired their coach and brought in the Rangers AHL coach, Chris Knobloch, next thing you know, that club took off.
Starts humming. Yep.
You know, but that's not the sad part of the entire playoffs. The sad part of the entire playoffs is very similar to the NBA conversation we just had. It's hard watching Alexander Ovechkin play hockey. It really is. He has one shot in two games. He used to be the guy that could take over a game on every single shift. And I know the Rangers are doing a good job defensively against him, but for Alexander Ovechkin to have one shot in two games and they've had 6 or 7 power plays is inexcusable from a coaching staff, from a player personnel perspective. It is horrendous to look at.
Well, and his game has always been, and especially in the power play, sit on the left circle and one time it. And so it really is. It's not, you know, reinventing the wheel here. That's what he's done for his entire career and why he's going to eventually break Gretzky's goal scoring record. You're right, Dino. They're doing a good job defensively, but what the hell is going on? How are you not giving him the puck and giving, you know, he's still got a great slap shot, still one of the best in the league, even at his age. So it's bad coaching, but I think it's just, the Rangers, they're so fast and physical, man. They're just giving the Caps fits all over the place.
Is there anything that I missed, though?
No, other than your boy Matt Rempe, who I'm just previewing a heavyweight bout between Rempe and Tom Wilson.
Well, it's coming down.
It's 100% coming.
It's going down soon.
And I'm telling you, Rempe might lose his eye, but he's down to throw. So, yeah, he's down to throw. But look, Jedi, I know we're on different sides here, but it would be really, really nice if it was Rangers-Panthers in the Eastern Conference Finals. So
it would be. And yeah. I watched, I don't mean to cut you off, but I, you know, I watched them. You were there. We were both at the game.
Yep.
I watched the Rangers get absolutely embarrassed by the Florida Panthers in the jungle in Sunrise, Florida. I saw what I needed to see.
They lost.
So I know how that will turn out.
I want that to happen so bad, just so for a whole week we could get content out of this.
Dude, they lost 4-3. Like, what are we talking about?
Little bit of baseball news. That's big baseball news. Justin Verlander returns. Obviously, this is the ace for the Astros. They have had a lot of pitching struggle in the early part of the season. Luis Garcia, Lance McCullers, Jose Urquidy, Framer Valdez, all on the IL. And I believe Christian Javier went on the IL with a neck injury. I mean, there's your starting rotation right there. So this team is really hurting right now with pitching help. But they do get Justin Verlander back. But 2 years ago, he won the Cy Young. He is 41 years old now. Is this going to change the course of their season at all? Because right now they're in last place in the AL West, which I don't think anyone predicted.
Yeah, it's a tough question. Do I think Verlander himself changes this season? No, I don't. To be honest with you, I'm shocked how bad the AL West has started outside of the Oakland Athletics. The fact that they have 9 wins through 24 games is miraculous. But
took one from the Yankees the other day, didn't they?
Yeah.
They shut
them out. But there's some things that are just trending in a negative direction, right? Negative 33 in run differential, 3-7 their last 10. They're on a 3-game losing streak as we're filming this. God knows what they're doing tonight. I don't think he single-handedly changes this. They can't stop giving up runs.
Yeah, it's a problem. And, you know, I think it just comes down to, you know, the big question mark whenever, what'd you say, 41 years old, Jedi? Coming off an injury. Can he maintain health? He looked great in his first start. I think his average fastball velocity was almost 95 miles an hour. I think it was 94.9 I saw. So if he can maintain that and be, you know, the typical Verley, it's a huge shot in the arm, but they're 7-17. You're right, Dino. They're giving up a ton of runs. I don't know if they have the depth to be able to maintain from all these injuries that they've sustained.
You know, they obviously haven't gotten to the start that they want, but it is worth noting that this is a team that's talented enough to turn it around. And with the way the AL West has gone so far in 2024, they could easily steal this division because the Rangers have not played that well and neither have the Mariners. And they're right in there, to be honest, which is crazy.
You're right.
How bad of a start they've had.
Right. They're only 5.5 games out of, you know, first place in the division. But that's not terrible being 7-17.
But when you look at like teams that are off to a bad start, right? Like the top three that come to mind, the White Sox are absolutely horrendous.
They're 3-20.
They're horrendous. The Colorado Rockies are horrendous. Outside of that, I look at the Marlins and I look at the Astros. Like that's the company that they're in right now. So to win that division, they're only 5.5 games back. And I know it's the first month of the season, but when you're starting to be in that category of those other four teams, it's alarming. And it's not just the pitching. Like they're not hitting at a clip that you thought that they would. They're giving up 6.25 runs a game.
Yeah.
Right.
So I don't think it's fair to put the Marlins in there. Even they did make the playoffs last year. And I think they're another team that's kind of shocking to start their season like this. I didn't think that they were going to win the AL or the NL East at all. But I mean, the start that they've had, this is really bad for them too. But I don't see the Astros turning it around though.
I
think that it's kind of done.
I went to see the Marlins play.
Who'd they play?
The Angels. It was a $3 ticket, obviously. They're terrible. I left thinking the Angels are pretty good. That's how bad the Marlins are. Like Jazz Chisholm couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat. Their entire their bright spot's Tim Anderson, and we talked about that before. If Tim Anderson is the bright spot of this team, they have issues. And my God, they have issues.
Worst bullpen in baseball, too.
By far.
Yeah.
By far.
And just the last note on the Astros, too, you know, you almost have to make that turnaround right now. Very quickly, we mentioned like the first month of the season, that could very quickly turn into 2 months of the season, quarter of the season, half the year before you kind of start picking up. And by that time, you know, unless the rest of the AOS continues, you know, being mediocre, you're way out of it at that point, no matter who's coming back.
Yeah, and I also don't think that you're going to be getting Cy Young Justin Verlander just at this point in his career. I think he's still going to be effective. He's going to be helpful. But is he going to be a full-on ace? No, probably not. But the last thing that I will ask to close out this conversation about the Houston Astros is this franchise, what's the right word I'm looking for? This dynasty that they had, is the window officially shut now? The fact that it seems like Lance McCullers probably, with his injury history, might not play at all this year. Framer Valdez is still questionable. I mean, is the window now shut?
I believe it is, actually. And I don't want to go as far as saying that I think that the Yanks winning the first four kind of set the tone for their season, because they had the Yanks number for God knows how long. But when you start looking at this roster and all this stuff, like, you've had success in the past, you're not having success now. The next best thing financially and strategically is to break it down. Now, they won't walk from guys like Jordan and Tucker, but they have pieces that they might be sellers at the deadline for a couple guys just to shed some contracts and have a modified rebuild. I wouldn't say rebuild. I'd say like a retool. That's what I'd say.
Yeah, you mentioned those two pieces, Tucker and Jordan. I think they're staying Astros for life. I just don't see it. It's not the same Astros team that we saw in those championship years. You know, I know they've sustained a lot of injuries pitching wise, but it's just not the same squad, in my opinion. It just doesn't strike the fear like it used to.
Yeah, and I think that look out for Alex Bregman. He's going to be a free agent at the end of 2024. Big trade candidate there if they don't do well. Still sticking with the AL West here, a top prospect at one time made his major league debut and it did not go as planned. Jack Leiter, not the prodigy everyone thought that he would be, gives up a ton of homers, but his strikeout per nine is crazy. He made his MLB debut and gave up 7 earned runs. Not a great way to start your career against the Detroit Tigers, who actually randomly have the best bullpen in baseball, which is like in a sub one almost, which is crazy to think about. But back to Jack Leiter, will he be a bust? Not a lot of hype around it, I feel like, as when he got drafted. I feel like he's getting called up because he was just a first round pick, just to make like a story, because they invested millions of dollars into him.
I don't think he's going to be a bust. He's too young to be able to tell. Not off to a great start, but can't be worse than Jackson Holliday's start.
That's a great point, Dio.
But he hasn't succeeded in the minors either, Jack Leiter.
But I'm more inclined to say a pitcher will figure it out than Jackson Holliday this season.
My thing is, I wouldn't say he was a bust, because I just never expected him to be, you know, a stud like people were talking about Jackson Holliday. I don't know. I just never envisioned him, even though he was a first round pick, super high pick. Mm-hmm. I just never envisioned him as a Cy Young winner coming up and just going to be able to dominate how I kind of envision Skeens going, or, you know, like a Strasburg type hype, you know?
Yeah, just something quick to talk about. He already was sent down after him pitching his major league debut. He was sent down right after the game. So maybe he figures it out. I hope that he does have success, but I don't know. I just feel like he's going to be one of those guys that just never really figured it out and will always be one of those big first round guys that just never really made it. Still sticking with baseball here, iconic broadcaster John Sterling retires. This is just a real quick bit here. He's obviously an iconic broadcaster for the New York Yankees. The Yankees gave him a little retirement party at the stadium, and they decided to give him only a TV to watch Yankee games from as a retirement present. John Sterling is worth millions of dollars. Is this the cringiest gift for retirement of all time?
No.
I'm curious to see what you think is worse, because I don't see in a world how this doesn't get how this is not as bad. I mean, it was an 81-inch TV. We'll put that out there. So pretty large.
However, sure they got it mounted for him.
Yeah. I mean, however, squad. It's like, does he really need it though? Probably not.
I think giving Miguel Cabrera a $30 bottle of wine while he's in active recovery is
Oakland Athletics,
by
baby.
Far takes the cake.
That is,
I
up
think,
there.
Yeah, I think that is the worst one. They were going for the sentimental value of it. It's corny as shit, in my opinion. I hope they did something else for him too, because like, I don't know how long he was calling games, but he's pretty iconic broadcaster.
Oh, he is. The one thing that I'll always miss is just the home run calls. Yeah. Houdini, Tommy said that he's not a fan of John Sterling. I don't know how you're not a fan of John Sterling. I can't stand Michael Kay as a Yankee fan. I think Michael Kay only likes to talk about the weather. You ever listen to the dude talk? He just talks about how sunny or cloudy it is the entire game.
Yeah, I mean, John's like, look, like I didn't really like listen to Yankee games on the radio. You know what I mean? So like, I'm sure John Sterling has that niche of people that enjoy listening to him. I just, that's just not me. Like, to be honest with you, I enjoy watching the Yankees on mute because I can't really stand Michael Kay either. You know, which is really depressing, because if you look at the Rangers announcer and the Knicks announcer, like, it's unbelievable that they couldn't do someone better than Michael Kay. Like, Sam Rosen for the Rangers is an all-time great, and he does Fox NFL football. Then you have Mike Breen do Knick games, and he's known for his famous bang. So, like, nice. You know, and then you just have Michael Kay, you know. So I just feel like it's a huge miss.
The Mets have a really good one, Gary Cohen. He's very good at broadcasting games. But I don't know. John Sterling also strikes me as a guy that would listen to the Yankee games only on the radio. Like, he's definitely not watching them on TV. He strikes me as that type of guy. But I don't know. Good luck in retirement. Enjoy your retirement. 60 years of broadcasting is a long time.
Wow.
Sticking with the Yankees, Aaron Judge is ice cold. He did hit a home run today at the time we're filming this, but are either of you hitting the panic button on Aaron Judge? Because I 1000% am, because pitchers are just playing with him at this point. They are throwing pitches 2 feet off the plate, and he's still swinging at him. He's not even like check swinging. He's just full on yes. Like, it's not even, there's no decision making here. Like, will he get out of this funk?
Yes.
100%.
Yes.
100%. But it's really annoying to me, but what scares me is that probably in 3 years, he's not going to get out of the funk, and that's what it's going to be.
No, man. Every hitter, I don't want to say every hitter. I'm just going to break down this situation, and it's going to take me less than 10 seconds. He's clearly feeling the heat of the NY media falling in love with Soto, and he's not contributing. When I've said the only thing he needs is a right center field bomb. Where'd his ball go tonight?
Right center.
He's fine. He's back.
Or that was just a hanging slider, and he's going to continue to swing at those low and away sliders. I'd be a little worried. I think he's pressing. I think that oblique or that rib injury that he sustained in spring training still lingering. And you hit the nail on the head, Dino. Soto is going off right now. So he's starting to press. Everything kind of combined into one, a little confluence of all of that happening at the same time. And you're going to have a very down year in New York, Aaron Judge.
You know, in light of this too, the Yankees are doing extremely well while Aaron Judge is not producing. And that was the opposite last year. Whenever Aaron Judge didn't do well, the Yankees lost. Now they have Soto in there, you know, to help Judge out a little bit, which is the whole point of the accusation. Is that the right word?
Acquisition
of Soto. So, I mean, the exciting thing for a Yankee fan is when Soto and Judge are going to be both on, that's going to be really fun if you're a Yankee fan. And that hasn't happened yet. And they're playing extremely well still.
It's coming.
I give it like the summertime, like right when it starts heating up a little bit, because in New York, it's still a little cold outside. You know, ball's not flying yet.
I'm perfectly confident that
summer in the city.
I'm perfectly confident this writes its own ship.
To round out baseball here, the White Sox could quite possibly be the worst team of all time. They are currently 3-20. They are on pace to go 21-141. I don't think I've ever even heard of a team on pace to do something like that before in my entire life. This must be the worst MLB record, possibly, to start the season. I don't think, there's no way anyone's close. There's no way.
Yeah, which is, so first of all, Garrett Crochet is actually pretty good. Like,
oh, yes.
I actually think he's really good. And then they have Clevinger and Soroka. You know what I mean? Like, but their lineup, their nine hitters are so bad that it actually is going to hurt me to click stats right now. Like, this is going to bother me to look at. They're hitting .192 as a team. As a team, they've struck out 203 times in 23 games.
23 games.
It's Jesus. Beyond terrible. It's beyond terrible. And when you start looking at, like, oh, well, who can we sell off? Who do you want? Moncada?
I would disagree.
Moncada? Luis Robert?
Yeah, I'd take Luis Robert.
I mean, what are they doing this year, you know?
Yeah, but I think that maybe a change in scenery for players like that might be good. Maybe not Yoan Moncada, but Luis Robert. You know, I don't really know what happened to this team, because a few years ago, I think all three of us said that they were World Series favorites. Like, you wouldn't be surprised if they won the World Series, maybe in like 2020, 2021, maybe 2022. Like, those years where it was like, there's something building here. And that is just completely gone out of the water. It's absolutely not. But the team, I think, is still talented, though, for someone. I mean, Eloy Jimenez, Luis Robert, Yoan Moncada, Michael Kopech, Garrett Crochet, Andrew Benintendi. I mean, these are notable names. These aren't like the Athletics, to where it's like, try to name one guy.
Look, they're dealing with injuries, too. Like, let's not pretend like they're not. Like, Moncada will come back eventually. Luis Robert will come back eventually. Those two guys have combined for 18 games played, right? So, you know, Luis Robert's only played 7. So do I think that there's like a light at the end of the tunnel? Do I think they're going to set the record for all-time losses? No. But they're going to come close.
The White Sox are who we thought the Oakland Athletics were going to be at the start of the year. Like, we thought the A's, you mentioned Jedi, just in your little bit, that name an A. Like, you can't really name an Athletic. It's different with the White Sox, but I don't know, man. I do not see the light at the end of the tunnel with the White Sox. I think they're going to be horrible all year. Maybe not quite, you know, record-setting horrible, but they're going to be a very, very bad baseball team.
You know what I think is the most interesting part about this, and no one's really mentioning this? They've had a lot of leadership issues. Tim Anderson was a problem there, and even when, oh my gosh, Tony La Russa was the manager there. That was a big problem, to where like they didn't, it just ended very funky there. And then they have this new manager, Pedro Grifol. I think this is a clear example of clubhouse issues and poor leadership from an underqualified manager. There were a lot of people questioning that hiring when they hired him. I think that he's completely lost this team and no one respects him, because it seems like even when you're 3-20, you would think that you'd probably turn it around. Even the Athletics, look at the talent they have. Last year, did they start 3-20? No. Because at some point, it's like, we're a Major League Baseball team. Let's have some pride.
They're bad. I don't know what to say. Like, they're bad. I mean, you just chewed that guy out. Like
you can either agree or disagree. Is it leadership issues? Is there clubhouse issues? Is Pedro Grifol underqualified? I don't know.
This is his first job, correct?
Yes, it is.
I think about as horrible a start as you could start your managerial career at. And clearly,
well, he took over last year when La Russa left.
But still, like, his first real gig, like, he was interim at the time. But I think, yeah, that there's got to be some sort of underlying issues there for a squad to put up that little effort to try and get a victory.
Yeah, I don't. I if he gets fired midseason or in the next couple of weeks, then I'd say yes. But because he was interim and he kept his job, there was clearly some support from the clubhouse. Now, is it possible that he lost that support? Yeah, but that's obviously possible. But they are dealing with some serious injuries from starters that can make a difference. But the numbers don't lie. They're bad. Overall, they're bad. So I don't know yet. Oh my God. I forgot to tell you guys. I watched Dune.
Oh, what'd you think?
Fabulous. Fabulous.
Is it the Empire Strikes Back? That's what it was compared to.
The comparisons are legit. I will tell you, the comparisons are legit. But no, but they're legit. It's comparable and it's really good. And that 3 hours felt like 20 minutes. It was really freaking good. And Jedi, if you're interested, instead of going to see it in theaters and waiting for all that stuff, you can rent it on demand for $19.
Well, it's also on HBO.
Yes.
Isn't it?
No, not yet. But I do.
No, not yet.
But I do give it a 9.1.
Interesting. Okay. What'd you give the first one?
8-6.
Oh, okay. Step up.
I kind of like the first one better.
What?
They did a great job. I liked the detail they went into more in Dune 2, but I think I liked the first one better.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Yeah,
we'll talk about it another time.
Yeah, sounds good. Take it offline.
Well, we will talk to you next time. That'll be all for us here at Hot Shots Podcast. Make sure to drop a follow and subscribe to all of our social media channels at Hot Shots Podcast. If you enjoy this and tell a friend about it, we'd appreciate it a lot. But until then, we'll talk to you next time.